Mike Levins here with Kathy Barnett. Welcome this morning, 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. If you're listening, thank you for listening. We are, you know, there was a CNN anchor. Kathy, do you want to take this one here? CNN anchor who, and this was a few days ago, okay, but we haven't really talked about it on the program having to do with the Dallas police station shooting.
Yes, and the news anchor lady in question is Frederica Whitfield. And you may, I'm sure you guys have heard this story. She's an anchor lady at CNN, and she was covering the shootout that took place against a Dallas police station where you have a man who started shooting, ran his vehicle filled with explosives into a Dallas police station, which then ensued into a car chase. Jack in the Box was involved in a shootout. The man was eventually killed. But nonetheless, Frederica Whitfield, the CNN news anchor lady, called the shooter, and I'm going to read it, and I quote, "It was very courageous and brave, if not crazy as well, to open fire on the police headquarters." And now you have this scene, this standoff. And so she was called to task on her comment of calling this shooter courageous and brave because he attacked a Dallas police station with explosives, intending to do harm. She called him courageous and brave. And so, nonetheless, as usual with liberals, they come and they make a statement saying, I misspoke. And in no way believe the gunman was courageous nor brave. And I was just saying to Michael during the break, when you misspeak, it's like saying, tomato, but you really meant to say tomato. I don't know. It's like that's a misspeak. But to call someone courageous and brave that is really a coward and a bunch of foolishness and mayhem, I just thought that was just another example of our media going rogue instead of, and again, shaping the mindset of the listener.
And I don't know what she was thinking when she said that. I mean,
she was thinking about bravery.
Well, and, some people, and I guess with all the incidents with cops happening around our nation, with those who are with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, some people were even initially thinking that this was something to do with that, but it was not. Okay, people are now thinking that there was probably mental illness involved here. So the man who is the shooter, his name is James Boulware. So, but he was killed in the standoff. So he is no longer with us. But that wasn't mentally unstable is basically the conclusion that everyone is reaching now. He apparently was having some issue over one of his children.
Yes,
and that
custody
was where
being
it came
taken
from.
Away from him.
So, and that was the motivation, if you will, of this. And but then you have adding on to this whole circumstance, you have the CNN anchor, who her reputation, her career is over now, at least that's what one would think.
Maybe, right, yeah. But she apologized, so that may be enough to soothe the liberals and allow her to keep her job. But again, I just think it goes to the mindset, our police officers are easy targets now, and so when anything has to do with them, and it's an immediate rush to condemnation, a rush to, okay, it must be the police officer's fault, okay, it must be something with racism, okay, they must be in the wrong, even to the extent when you have something as crazy as someone packing an armored van with weapons, with explosives, and they did find explosives at the police station headquarters. He has a rifle. He's shooting. He's intending to do harm. Even when you have something that is so obviously, blatantly wrong by the other party, she comes on air and says, "Wow, he was really brave and courageous to attack police officers. And I just think that, I mean, again, when you're looking at all of these situations, I don't care if it's Rachel Dolezal, Bruce Jenner, whatever, you have to look at it through the lens of what's the bigger picture here? And not so much this particular incident should we focus on, but it's the overall mindset. Now, our police officers, even when something is so blatantly wrong, just because it's being perpetrated against the police station, well, then that's okay. Well, you can harm those people.
And that's why it's so important, you know, when you're in a position like hers or like we are here on the air, you know, it's so important that you choose your words wisely, you know, that you make sure that what you say is what you mean to say. Because I could see maybe if she was, although she's a CNN legal analyst, she's probably been on before, but, you know, if nerves got to her and all of a sudden that slipped out, but.
Courageous and brave.
I know, exactly.
Yeah,
it's still
that's
tough
not
to,
a misspeak. Yeah.
And it's still tough, and you have to ask yourself, and I would, and if she truly did misspeak, if she did. I would suspect that when she came out to apologize, it would be very, she would note how egregious it was to say something like that. But that has not really happened, though.
No, yeah. I think I'm going to need to see some tears.
I didn't
see any tears from her.
But that's the only thing that I could think of as far as that.
Yeah, you know, like misspeak. Okay, I'm from the South, and so there are certain words I just kind of drop just because it's what we do in the South. We just drop whole syllables. So, for example, I tend to say naked a lot, but the word is naked. But so that's a misspeak, right? Naked versus naked. So that's a misspeak.
Some people would say that's funny, too, though.
Well, it is kind of funny. So, but, you know, hey, I take ownership. I'm from the South. So you may. So if you guys hear whole syllables missing, then, you know, just kind of chuck it up to the fact that, you know, hey. It's my roots.
Yeah, well, hey.
Don't be intolerant.
Well, no, hey, if you would like to come on the program, you can do so. 610-539-TALK, the number to call, 610-539-8255. Now, there's some other headlines as well I want to talk about this morning. This is an interesting one from Obamacare land. Now comes a headline at a Fox News article. Feds can't verify nearly $3 billion in Obamacare subsidies, apparently, according to an audit. And what does this mean for the taxpayer here, Kathy?
I mean, you know, $3 billion. I mean, in light of the fact that we're running an $18 trillion deficit, I mean, what's another $3 billion in the scheme of things, I guess?
Yeah, it all just kind of
and the $18 trillion
together, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're just so woefully, oh my goodness, we're just so woefully just running amok. There's no accountability. I mean, we already know that Obamacare, you know, I mean, it sucks for lack of a better word. There's so much wrong with it. I mean, if $3 billion is not even a significant part of what's wrong with Obamacare.
Right. In order to, when you're talking about Obamacare and changing it, you're talking about billions upon billions, not just $3 billion. But apparently, yeah. $3 billion in subsidies is missing.
Yep.
And talking about transparency in government, we've done here before, talking about that yesterday. We were talking about the PA state budget with Bob Dick of the Commonwealth Foundation and Anna McCausland with Americans for Prosperity. We were talking about how easy it is to get access to information and how a lot of times in government what you find is people use and the officials, they will make the information accessible, but not before they make it very confusing. And they change it around so that the average person would have to have a full-time job in order to find out what they're really trying to do. And I work a full-time job. You work a full-time job, Kathy. We don't necessarily always have time to devote to just sift through 1,000 pages of one government bill, like the National Defense Authorization Act, which is now becoming a little bit of a controversy in and of itself. We just don't have that kind of time to do that.
Yeah, no, you don't. I mean, even our own legislators that are passing these bills don't have time to sit down and read through 1,000 pages. I mean, and we heard Nancy Pelosi tell us when asked, did you read Obamacare before you passed it? And what was her famous remark? You have to pass it before you know what's in it.
Before you know what's in it, you have to pass it.
Yes, yeah. And that is her full-time job. So go figure, right? You and I have full time. I remember even when Obamacare was coming out, I tried to go out and print a copy of it. Now, of course, it was like 1,000-some pages, but I was up for the challenge. And every single time I would, my computer would crash. It just was not able to print, to pull it all up and print it. And now I'm a full-time mom. I was working a full-time job. And yet, I wanted to take the time out to read what was in it. But we have legislators. This is their full-time job, is to read and to know and to decipher and understand what it is they're about to impose upon the American people. And from her own lips, Nancy Pelosi, at the time holding one of the highest positions in Congress, said, you have to pass it before you know what's in it. That doesn't give us much hope.
Well, and we're finding out that we don't know where $3 billion in subsidies are now, and we probably don't know a lot more about this bill. So even though it has been passed, we don't know everything yet. We've got to head to a break. But when we return, we are going to talk more about some different headlines. We've got a guest coming in at 8:30. So stay right there. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Chris Christie will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Rick Santorum will be there. You need to be there. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference at the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel, June 18th through the 20th. Meet the top Republican candidates for president right here in Philly. Sign up at 2015leadership.gop. That's 2015leadership.gop. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. You can't miss it. Paid for by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Ronald Reagan once said, "Politics is not a bad profession. If you succeed, there are many rewards. If you disgrace yourself, you can always write a book."
Allegedly, the man who helped plan that Texas cartoon contest shooting, you remember that? Allegedly, he wanted to attack the Super Bowl. We're just finding this out. This is a Fox News article that was published today. Authorities said on Tuesday that a Phoenix man who helped orchestrate a shootout at last month's Draw Muhammad event in Texas also had aspirations to join ISIS and attacked the Super Bowl. His name, Abdul Malik Abdul Kareem. He's 43, arrested last week on charges related to the May 3rd attack in Garland that led to the deaths of two roommates from Phoenix. An indictment filed in federal court in Phoenix says Kareem hosted the gunman in his home beginning in January and provided the guns they used when they attacked security guards outside the event. Welcome to the program. You can call in and let your voice be heard this morning at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Kathy Barnett and Mike Levins here. Let's dig into this one. Now, what does this say, Kathy? This man who apparently was wanting to target the Super Bowl. Are we starting to see more and more homegrown, high-profile attacks? Are they? Is this something we're just going to have to face, and that may become a norm where we start seeing more of these shootings and these attacks in our nation, Kathy?
Well, God forbid it becomes the norm in our country, right? And now I need to be careful because I do not want to have a misspeak moment here on air.
Don't want to misspeak, right?
No, we don't want to misspeak. And yet I'm thinking when the whole shootout happened in Garland, Texas, with the Draw Muhammad competition, I was so surprised to see so many people, even whether we're talking about the major news outlet interviewing Pamela Geller at the time, or even just on social media, just normal, average, everyday people kind of really go after Pamela and put the blame on Pamela.
Blaming the victim.
Yes, that is her fault. Well, you brought it on yourself. And now she has a fatwa on her, which is a death threat. And they posted earlier this week, I saw that ISIS has posted her home address. So this woman has a very real and present threat made against her and her family. And the conservative news outlet, as well as, you know, Christians that I know on social media and just a variety of other people have all came after her. Like, this is your fault. You should not have provoked it. You were stoking the fire. So now this is what you get. And all I can think was, what a bunch of cowards. America has turned into a land of cowards. When we would say, well, listen, we know how crazy these and how fanatical these Muslims can be about their religion. So don't stoke the fire. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. And then maybe it'll just all go away. And to Pamela's credit, one of the things she said is like, oh, really? You think that if it wasn't Garland, Texas, then it wouldn't have then these people that were on this jihadist mindset was not going to come out in some other form, really? So don't want to have a misspeak kind of moment here, but I'm thinking to myself, what will it take for Americans to wake up? God forbid that these terrorist cells, which our government has now confirmed, we do have multiple credible terrorist cells in the United States. A lot of them are homegrown Americans. That they're here and that they're dangerous and that they have very credible evidence that these people are trying to come out and plan these attacks. God forbid. And yet at the same time, I'm thinking, what will it take for America to get their heart back, to get their courage back, to kind of man up and woman up and take this threat serious? Islam is not playing. And I put it under the banner of Islam. I sure do. They're not playing. And at what point will we wake up?
And where are the people who are defending this woman as well? Everyone who's so quick to say you shouldn't have done that. Well, now where are the people who are saying that we need to defend her life against this fatwa? They're silent. They're silent. Just that sound that we just heard, that you and I just heard, that's all we're hearing from anyone else. Nothing. And it's deafening. It is extremely deafening because people are going to run to the defense of someone who is a Muslim, who claims that they're doing one thing or another because of what they believe. They'll run to the defense of them, but then someone who has the opposite view and does what they believe,
exercising their freedom.
Then we see the opposite. And then when that freedom is threatened to be infringed upon, no one runs to their defense.
Yes, exactly. It's really crazy. And all I can think, while I was looking at social media, like, what a bunch of cowards, just a bunch of wimps. And it's so sickening. It's really disgusting to see.
Makes me proud to be an American.
I am proud to be an American. And yet, you know, once again, as we talk about this whole mindset, you're going to be hard pressed to stand up and speak truth against Muslims. They're very intolerant. And their threats are real. I mean, like, they use bullying tactics all the time.
Right. And I would like to see people get around her and defend her, because it's such a blatant threat against her life from
not just her life,
evil,
our lives.
Right. And one of the most evil groups on the face of the planet, ISIS themselves, and stand up and protect her. And you're right, also in protecting America as well from any other. So we're losing our freedoms and we're giving them up.
We're surrendering our freedoms. Yeah, exactly. Because when we submit to terror, it's just really disgusting, you know. And we have had so many just great heroes who have come before us to remind us peace at any price is no peace at all, right? So there will come a time when you're going to have to, dust off your knee pads, stand up, and get a backbone. And I believe Islam, and I'm not fractioning it off to say, oh, well, I'm just talking about the radicals, or, oh, I'm just talking about ISIS. No, I'm talking about the banner of Islam, because that is the mantra. And yes, there are some really nice Muslims. I know many of them in another state. I would watch their kids. They watch my kids. And we have a wonderful relationship. But at the same time, I'm putting it under the banner of Islam, recognizing, our enemy.
Recognizing what their holy scriptures, quote unquote,
yeah,
say, and what that means, and what the conventional thought on Islam is. And even in the Middle East, even in these large schools in the Middle East, we're talking formal universities and colleges that teach Islam, where you'd be surprised at what they do teach and what their views really are. And it's all in light of the Quran. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Just to touch briefly on this again, this man who was doing his Texas cartoon contest shooting, Abdul Malik Abdul Karim, apparently had plans to attack the Super Bowl.
And let me just say real quick, you do a fantastic job pronouncing his name. So I just want to throw that out there.
I worked on it for all of 10 seconds. Thank you so much.
I know. I'm impressed.
It was many blood, sweat, and tears put into it. Abdul Malik Abdul Karim. Maybe because I've just heard...
Show off.
It's show off, yeah. Maybe because I've just heard so many of that combination of words used in different names that have made headlines, whether they're, whether they are Muslims themselves or whether they are or Islamic terrorists or what have you. But that do not understand me to say that these people are beyond or that they are less than any other person. They need the love of Jesus Christ just as much as each and every one of us. When we return, we're gonna get back. We got an interview. Stay around.
WFYL. Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. There are flash flood warnings in parts of Texas again, with 5 inches of rain in the forecast from what was Tropical Storm Bill.
What do? You just gotta wait.
Tammy Persley's in Sealy, Texas. Dave Roberts with the National Hurricane Center.
The primary impact, obviously, is the rainfall amounts and localized flooding. Unfortunately, Texas is going to feel the majority of that.
There was major flooding in Texas Memorial Day weekend. Donald Trump holds a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire today as an official candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. He tells Fox and Friends,
I'm doing well in the polls. I have the biggest crowds. And the reason is they want somebody successful with that mindset to straighten out the country because our country is going down.
On pundits who say he's not a serious candidate.
They're losers. They're just losers.
He's talked about running off and on since 1988. Fox News, we report. You decide.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes was the order given this day, June 17, 1775, by Colonel William Prescott to the colonial troops defending Bunker Hill. They were aiming at the wall of 2,300 British soldiers marching toward them from the Boston Harbor in their bright red uniforms with bayonets fixed. Twice the Americans repelled them till they ran out of gunpowder. Over 1,000 British died and 500 Americans. Colonel Prescott wrote, "Let us all be of one heart and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Good morning and welcome back to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. We have a special interview guest on the phone with us right now who's going to be talking about her candidacy for the 161st legislative seat that was recently vacated by Joe Hackett earlier this year. It's Lisa Esler of Ask Me PA. And she's joining us on the phone right now. Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here. For 1180 WFYL, it's a new day. Remember, you could call in at 610-539-TALK. Let your voice be heard this morning, 610-539-TALK. Now, Lisa, it's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Thank you very much.
Now, Lisa, you are not, and this is something that you have said, and I'll quote it here, and correct me if it's wrong, but I was selected by the Delco GOP establishment, or I was not selected by the Delco GOP establishment machine because the decision was made as to who the candidate would be before the vetting process began. Now, are you still, Lisa, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now, this is something that you said. You're going to be running against the endorsed Republican candidate, Paul Mullen. And this is, again, for the 161st legislative seat. What do you say? What do you say about that? That is a quote from you, correct? So, what is the difference between yourself and the endorsed Republican candidate, Paul Mullen?
Right. Well, first of all, as a school board director, I've worked diligently over the past few years to identify taxpayer issues that would benefit the taxpayers, unfunded mandates, and many of the policies that come from Harrisburg. And I've identified two parties in Harrisburg. That would be the Special Interest Party and the Taxpayer Party. And when Paul Mullen was endorsed by the GOP in Delaware County, I realized that he would be the poster child for special interest in Harrisburg. He's the president of the AFL-CIO, or recently removed himself from that position, from what I understand, very recently. And he's also the business manager for the IBEW. And if anybody knows anything about Harrisburg, special interests pretty much dictate policies being made there through their financial influence, and therefore I feel like he is not going to be the candidate that would represent the people.
Now, we were just talking about Harrisburg yesterday. We had Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation and Anna McCausland with Americans for Prosperity, who are joining us, and we were talking about budget reform. We were talking about the Republican budget plan, information that our listeners needed to know, how the budget plan had some interesting facts in it that listeners most certainly needed to know. Now, so we were discussing Harrisburg and the problems that we faced there. Now, one of the things that you say that Paul Mullen has not even touched on is pension reform. Is that correct?
Yes. He has not spoken about his position on true pension reform. I have spoken clearly as to my position on that, as well as many other positions. I'm not afraid to speak the truth. I did that in my school board campaign, won overwhelmingly, stated my positions very clearly, and the voters came out in large numbers and overwhelmingly voted for me, and I got more votes than any other candidate on both the Republican and the Democratic side of the ballot. And that was without an endorsement from the GOP. That was the voters giving me their recommendation as the candidate of choice. So my endorsement comes from the people, not from the party.
Now,
I was going to say, as far as Harrisburg goes, although I don't know all the details of the budget, I do know that Harrisburg doesn't have a revenue problem. They have a spending and an accountability problem.
And you've also said, and I'll quote you here, that you are challenging, I am challenging the Delco GOP's candidate because in my role as school board director, I've seen how Harrisburg is tainted by special interest lobbyists. You were just talking to that point before. And when we were talking about the budget, one of the biggest issues is pension reform. Another big issue, and not as big as pension reform as far as because the budget is going to be needed to be passed on June 30th, but another issue is paycheck protection as well, and this all has to do with government money being used by unions, taxpayer dollars being used to fund things that should be completely funded by the unions themselves. And your opponent, Paul Mullen, was head of the AFL-CIO in Delaware County and a business manager for the IBEW. And you're saying that, and his stance on those, is that he is not going to, he is against paycheck protection, and he hasn't even come out and said anything about pension reform.
I wrote a letter a couple months back about paycheck protection, and he actually countered that letter defending the fact that the union dues were taken out. And in my opinion, it's unethical for resources to be used as a collection agency for political campaigns for a private organization. And it doesn't matter the cost. This should not be the responsibility of the school district or the local municipality. It doesn't make sense, especially since the money that's collected is used for this private organization to influence and promote policies that are many times detrimental to students and taxpayers. I believe that the private organizations should collect their own money because they're funneling money through the resources that hurt taxpayers.
And this is all an abuse of the taxes that are being collected. It is all your money. As a listener, you need to know that is being used, and different pieces of legislation are going to come against that. So now what else can you tell our listeners about what you would do if you were elected, Lisa?
Well, one of the things I spoke very strongly against is the Common Core, the FADMA, this Common Core, and the influence that the federal and government has had over the curriculum. And I know some people don't understand everything about Common Core, but basically we're losing all our local control, parent control, teacher control of the curriculum that we're teaching the children in our classrooms. And also I've spoken very strongly against the over-testing of our children. I believe that it hurts them emotionally. It hurts the teachers because it stifles their ability to be creative in the classroom and use what their talents are.
You know, Lisa, I'm so glad that you brought that up. I was actually going to ask you a question about Common Core, and very specifically because you were a director on the school board. It's such an evil kind of octopus with all these tentacles that goes much deeper than the average American is even aware. It's a federal takeover of not just our education, but over the role of the parent as well, right?
Absolutely. And I've seen what it's done to the teachers. We have teachers that are leaving the field early. My sister's a teacher. I understand this firsthand, how it affects them in the classroom. And we have teachers that are retiring early because they said, this isn't what we signed up for. And we're losing valuable, talented teachers in the classroom that just don't feel like this is what they signed up for anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is truly a takeover of what they're teaching, and everything becomes kind of standardized, and now you're just kind of reading off of your computer screen of what it is you're going to teach for that day. It's very dangerous, but even over the even usurping the parental role, right?
Absolutely, and I've even heard it said by administrators, well, if we don't teach this, they won't pass the test. I mean, that's scary to me. The teacher should have the ability to teach in the classroom, and it shouldn't be dictated by the state or the federal level. I agree that we need testing, but we don't need testing with the influence of the bureaucrats in Washington that are dangling money in front of the states and the local communities to get their way with our students.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and you bring up a really valid and interesting perspective on the money that is attached to Common Core, because there's a reason why so many states, so many school districts signed up for Common Core, because it was attached to Common Core at a very critical time in our economy when the recession initially hit. The government said, okay, well, we'll help you out, states. However, we're going to dangle some money. We're going to attach whatever resources we give you to you accepting Common Core. And now we see across the nation, many school districts, many states are recognizing the evils of Common Core, and they're rescinding their participation. But now we just found out that the federal government is saying, well, you don't have Common Core. We're going to take this money away from you. And so my question to you is, Pennsylvania is not uncommon to many other states where we're having funding issues. And so what are your thoughts about how you're going to tackle funding for public schools if we do away with Common Core? Because money is attached to Common Core.
Well, I think that just goes to the heart of the matter, is that the more government you have, the less choice and freedom the people have. And I'm not sure how to tackle that. I have identified problems and costs that we could use to fix some of the local tax problems, such as the pensions. Prevailing wage is another big one. I mean, we just did a project in Pandelco, and we spent about $8 million.
Lisa, sorry to cut you off. We're going to have to answer the rest of that when we come back from the break.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Pennsylvania's General Assembly once again is looking at a possible expansion of gambling to try and meet budget shortfalls. This time around, the proposal is to legalize online gambling, which, as one senator said just last week, it would in effect put a slot machine in every home, even at 3 a.m. Well, first, government gambling revenues don't match the promises. You remember the property tax relief that Ed Rendell promised when legalizing casinos? Well, that hardly materialized. And as we predicted at that time, casino gambling would create nearly 300,000 gambling addicts statewide, causing crime, bankruptcy, family breakup, and suicide. The most recent survey shows we're at 280,000 addicted gamblers in Pennsylvania and climbing. Government-sponsored gambling is a bad idea, and adding to it is simply irrational. Find out more about this issue at our website at pafamily.org.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not packed. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Father's Day is a great time to consider God's role as father. As a father of six and grandfather to nine, I've thought much about my role, and this I've learned. The more we men emulate God, the Heavenly Father, the better the husband and father will be. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As our fatherhood model, God's the wise father, the great counselor and comforter. He's just, kind, merciful, and patient. He instructs and guides, protects and shields. He firmly disciplines but loves unconditionally. He loves so much he gave his son, the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He's the humble servant, yet the greatest leader. He's the model in every way of what an earthly father should be. To you, fathers and grandfathers, I ask, how much do you resemble God the Father? Remember, you are the picture of God to your wife and children. What view of God do they have? I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, my fellow fathers, this Father's Day, to think about this.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
It's a new day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here. You could go ahead and call in at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. Joining us on the phone is Lisa Essler, who is running for the 161st legislative seat, which was vacated by Joe Hackett earlier this year for Pennsylvania, and running against Paul Mullen, who is the endorsed Republican candidate. Lisa is not the endorsed Republican candidate, but she says that's for good reason. Lisa, welcome back to the program this morning.
Thank you very much.
Now, we were just finishing a thought. We kind of ran up against the break there, but we were just finishing a thought on Common Core. Go ahead and tell us about what Common Core is doing, okay? And then we want to talk about taxes and what's happening because it's budget time, and June 30th is the deadline for the budget for Pennsylvania. But let's finish our thought on Common Core. What have you, especially being in the position that you're in right now? You are serving on the Penn Delco School Board as the legislative liaison. So, enlighten us more on Common Core and what kind of a problem that is for you
well,
guys there.
Well, I just think that we lose local control of our curriculum, and we're being forced to teach certain things that we know aren't right. And I'll give you a perfect example, math. I think everybody understands math. You talk to any child, if you talk to any parent, you understand the frustration. Now, I understand that, you know, that we want to test people, but when, or the children, but when you're, what am I trying to say here? The math that they are doing now, which is kind of like the new math that they had before, is not going to benefit our children. And it's frustrating to them, and it makes absolutely no sense.
Lisa, hear on that. My son came home with a with some Common Core math, and I have a minor in math, and I was so confused. I had no idea what in the world it was requiring of us. And even when we took it back to the teacher, he couldn't fully explain the logic behind it. It's very frustrating.
Right. And now they have parents doing classes, having parents go in to the school so they can show them how to help their kids with math, which is totally silly, doesn't make any sense, there's no reason for it. I think everybody knows that, but because it was forced upon us in, as far as the curriculum, the teachers are teaching it because that's how they pass the test. And teachers are measured on the test. So, you know, I'm defending teachers here also. This isn't fair to them. This isn't what they signed up for. And I think they need to use their talents, and they don't need to have these restrictions and silly notions that this is a better way to do things when they know it isn't.
No, now it is budget time in Pennsylvania. In Harrisburg, there is much a gnashing of teeth going on right now as the deadline is fastly approaching. June 30th is the deadline for a Pennsylvania budget. Now there is, and we were again talking about this yesterday, there is a GOP plan to address the budget, and one of the claims is that it lowers property taxes. We were talking yesterday about how it does lower property taxes, but then it increases income and sales tax to the point where it is a net increase. Tell us a little bit of your thoughts on that legislation.
Okay, and I don't know everything about what the plan is, but I don't believe in shifting the chairs to try to make it sound like things are going to work out better for everybody. Especially since, from what I've understand,
right, because that's what's going on right now. Yeah,
exactly. The new plan is going to increase the average household by $1,400 across the board. So that doesn't make sense to me. Although I don't understand the whole plan, I don't believe that we are identifying the problems. I believe in getting to the root of the problem and not putting Band-Aids on it. And I think a lot of times that's what Harrisburg does, because it's not politically correct for them to fix things. So, you know, that's where I'm at with the whole budget.
Yeah, and they are, it is looked at as a Band-Aid. The biggest issue in the budget is this pension reform. Your opponent, Paul Mullen, with the positions that he's held being involved in major union affairs, pension reform has, you know, when we talk about it, every time I talk about that one issue, the thing that always rings in my mind is unions. And not that unions in themselves are inherently evil, but that the pensions that are being undertaken right now by many of these plans, they're the biggest part of the budget, and it's the elephant in the room.
Well, it was said that he had dutifully stated his positions as a union member. I can't dutifully do anything I don't believe in. So whether it was dutifully or whether it was personally, I stand on my principles, I stand on what I believe in, and my integrity and my reputation is more important than anything anybody says that I should say as a representative of any group, whether it be a school board director or any other position that I may hold. I always have to speak the truth, and dutifully has nothing to do with it.
Now, just a little bit about yourself. You're a graduate of Westchester Christian School, and you're married with a daughter and granddaughter. You've been a certified optician in Delaware County for the past 27 years, just kind of a look into your personal life. And you have said before that you want to be the choice for voters against special interests in Harrisburg. How do you believe that you're going to be able to do that?
I believe, first of all, I'm not a career politician, and I don't intend to become one. I am not seeking office to become wealthy off the backs of the taxpayers, and I'm not going to take a pension because I am not a career politician. And I'm taking a pledge that I will not do that to the taxpayers and to the people of the 161st District because the pension system is bankrupting us in the Commonwealth. So therefore, I'm not taking part of the pension. I want to be a representative that speaks for the people of the district, not with people with deep pockets. And I'm beholden to nobody except the people that I represent. I will not take money from them because they stifle meaningful reforms. And that's not why I'm going. I'm going to make a difference for the people. I want to be the people's choice. I believe that I will be true to myself and to my values, as I always have been, because I have to sleep at night. And that's more important to me than changing my views or changing a position that will benefit me in the long run.
Lisa, we're reaching the end of the program. What would you say to voters as they will be heading to the polls?
Well, I would say that I would appreciate their support. I am going to be the write-in candidate. It's a very simple process when they get to the polls. There will be people there helping them do that. And I think people have lost faith in the leaders in the system, and I hope I can restore some of that. I am asking them to please step out on Election Day and vote for me. It's August 4th. It would mean a lot to me, and it would mean a lot to the future of Pennsylvania, I believe, and I believe I'd be a good representative for them. And that's about it. And if I am available, I have put my phone number out there for anybody that wants to ask me any questions, because I'm here to answer who I am to the constituents of this district.
That's Lisa Esler of Aston, PA, who's running for the 161st legislative seat, Pennsylvania. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the phone this morning.
And if you like me, you can like me on my Facebook page, Lisa Esler for PA State Rep 161.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here saying thank you for listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Remember, in all these things, no matter what happens, whether it's in Harrisburg or on Capitol Hill, D.C., Jesus Christ is Lord over all. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9.